It's the preface of the Epiphany. It is truly meet and just, right, and available unto salvation, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O holy Lord, Father, almighty and everlasting God. For when thine only begotten Son showed himself in the substance of our mortal nature, he restored us by the new light of his own immortality. And therefore, with angels and archangels, with thrones and dominions, and with all the heavenly hosts, we sing a hymn to thy glory, saying without ceasing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. It is truly meet and just that we should give thanks unto thee. Here we are now, halfway through our study of the Mass already. And what with the standard American attention span of just being 10 minutes or so, 15 or a little bit better under the best circumstances, we have to ask ourselves, how are we doing? By the time the preface comes around, you may be getting a little sleepy, and your mind may be drifting. But it's too early for a good pew slam. That crash always concentrates your forces, doesn't it, on the way to Holy Communion, but you have to wait for that part of the Mass. So it may be that your mind is all over the place, and then sometimes people might be wondering, well, now how much longer will all of this last? And then Father gives out a great per omnia saecula saeculorum, through all ages of ages. Well, it doesn't mean that this particular Mass will last that long, but it does mean that prayer before the throne of the Most High will indeed. As he does so, at the end of the secret, end of the offertory, watch, he raises his hands heavenward. Then he goes on to sing at High Mass, Sursum Corda, lift up your hearts. As you follow with Father today, take a breath and let your whole self go out to God. At this moment, it's not sorrow for sin, which demands our attention. Often enough at Mass it does, nor adoration, the great Epiphany virtue, nor even confidence, which is always good, and not even exactly love. It's gratitude we're thinking of now. It's the gratitude attitude, which is not just for Thanksgiving, I mean the fourth Thursday of November, but for every day and for every Mass and, challenge for a Christian, for everything. Even today's inconvenient but so beautiful weather. Christians don't sort of divide. Well, this, like children would with vegetables on their plate. Well, this much is not thanksworthy. And for this, yes, indeed, I must remember to say thank you to the good Lord. No, for everything we give thanks. This is the characteristic attitude of a Christian, at Mass especially, and at Holy Communion. Thankfulness, which is why it is called from the Greek the Holy Eucharist, Thanksgiving. At the Mass, we remember, and more than that, we reenact, we make present, truly, that's the word, we make present the gift of God, how that Jesus Christ was crucified for me. Dilexit me, says St. Paul, with tears as he writes. It trotted at semitipsum pro me. He loved me, and he handed himself over for me. And what can we say in return but vere dignum et justum est? Truly, it is meet and right and just so to do. The sense of that is to say, it's only fair. It's a healthy sign for a Christian who, regardless of where he is, somebody got stuck in the ditch this morning, and this may be a stretch, but regardless of where you find yourself to want to give thanks to God. When you're attentive and you catch sight of his little mercies, and you remember the things that do go right, and you catch your breath as well at the big graces of life, and you'll never forget them, and you'll always stop to say, thank you. It's a good sign that you're on the way to heaven. You know, these short versicles and responses that are sung this morning, say, between the celebrant and the choir, they are as old as the church herself. They were arranged by the 12 apostles for Mass and have been used ever since. This gratefulness that stirred up with these first versicles goes into full bloom at the preface, which, as the name indicates, is meant to lead us into something else, which is the silence of the canon, and the priest's voice will not be heard until it's over, and he intones the Pater, the Our Father. The word preface comes from the Latin either prefacere or prefari, which means to do before or to say before. A book usually comes with a preface. Many readers, I suspect, skip it, but they tell you you really shouldn't, because if you read the preface first, it gives you an idea of what's coming, and you understand the author's idea a little bit better. That's how it is with our preface. There's more gratitude that comes next. And then we're given a particular reason for gratitude right now, today. The church's prayer, I mean the liturgical Latin style, is succinct. It says a lot in just a few words. There's deep thought in those sparse phrases. So today is the octave or eighth day of Epiphany. And today we honor the second manifestation miracle, when Christ, Son of God made man, was baptized in the river Jordan. The dove was seen hovering overhead, and the Father's voice was heard. This is my beloved Son. It is a manifestation of the Trinity. So the preface says, we're especially grateful today because this sight, we can see it, God made mortal, is for us a kind of a beacon star which heralds the dawn of our own immortality. Those are deep thoughts, and you're meant to close the book and to think about them a bit. The sight of sinless Jesus in the Jordan, baptized, not cleansed himself by the water, but giving water power to cleanse our sins, prefigures our own baptism, in which we are restored to the image and the likeness of God, the image of the Trinity, who adopts us. And this is great cause for gratitude. It's enough to make a man burst forth into song. And so it does at High Mass. Mozart, who is no mean musician, is quoted as saying that he would willingly trade all of his music, all of his symphonies, all of his masses, for the glory of having composed the preface of the Blessed Trinity. Where does the melody come from? It is a beautiful piece. I regret that I can't do justice to it, but every now and again you get a priest who can, and it is magnificent to hear. Well, Dom Guéranger says that it is the same music as was used by the ancient Greeks centuries before Christ, when they celebrated some hero at their feasts and declaimed his mighty deeds in song. The Mass, our Mass, is the last living repository of Western culture. Its roots go back to the Greeks and the Romans of old, as well as to the Hebrews. The preface always concludes by bringing in the angels, which is a good idea, uniting our prayers with theirs. Up the steps we climb, higher and higher, past angels and archangels and dominions and powers, past the thrones, to approach the very throne of Almighty God himself, surrounded by seraphim, a glowing furnace burning with the heat of the love of God. And the closer we get to the throne, the better we hear the cries of adoration. They ring louder as we ascend. And we think to ourselves, do I dare join that choir? I would never surely pass the tryout. But never mind, it's the preface. And our thankfulness is all the Almighty hears. Oh, I should tell you too about the preface that St. Vincent Ferrer says, meditating on the whole life of our Lord in the course of one Mass, that the Sursum Corda represents Christ's preaching and his teaching by mouth and example, he says. And that's why the priest holds up his hands, because our Lord preached and taught so as to draw us up heavenwards. Others say, for the Passion, that Pilate's public speech to the people is represented. How that he released Barabbas and found Christ innocent, but still delivered him over to his enemies to be crucified. But I think one of the best symbolisms of the preface, as with so much of the Mass, is the agony in the garden. It's really a very important mystery. Did you know that we go from the Jordan to Gethsemane today? And that Jesus Christ, our Lord, was baptized twice, the innocent lamb, once with water and once in blood. This was his mission. He desired it with all of his heart to carry it out, and he suffered as he waited to obey his Father's voice. I have a baptism, St. Luke records the words. I have a baptism wherewith I am to be baptized, and how I am straitened until it be accomplished. How impatient am I? I burn with desire for this baptism of blood. Now, that sublime and seraphic saint, Catherine of Siena, teaches that when our Lord in the garden prayed, Father, if it may be, let this chalice pass from me, he did not mean a reprieve from death, but that he would rush to it, speak but the word, from the agony all the way to the expiration on the cross, if only he were allowed. And that what made him suffer was not the thought of his coming passion, but rather his still incomplete mission, 33 years in the waiting. But that, as always, Jesus gratefully accepted his Father's timing. My hour is not yet come. Except, of course, at the prayer of his mother. Not what I will, but what thou wilt. St. Catherine saw this. She too lived exactly 33 years, and she burned with a desire to suffer with her Savior for the salvation of souls, and this should recommend her to us for the restoration of the church. But even a saint, her Dominican biographer, St. Raymond of Capua, found her interpretation of the agony hard to accept. And he cited to her once the common understanding of the saints and the scholars, the theologians, that Jesus as man naturally feared death, and yet he faced it finally after prayer. And thus he encouraged us in the face of our own inevitable suffering and death. St. Catherine answered that sacred scripture speaks to everyone, weak and strong, in different ways. That's an important thought. That too is worth meditating on a snowy morning. And that she saw a Jesus who desired so earnestly to suffer. And St. Raymond admitted he was silenced by her wisdom. The priest, too, is silenced, or almost so, after he sings his magnificent story of thanksgiving for Christ's suffering and for the Father's plan in the preface. He lowers his voice to a murmur, and he says the threefold Sanctus, joining the angels now around the throne. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.